Again, we're always coming to you for help.
As we should, Lord. As we should. And we need your help tonight, Lord. I need your help tonight, Lord.
I want to be your vessel, Lord. I want to be your mouthpiece, if you will. I want to be your instrument, Lord, used as you will, used as you want, Lord, as you desire tonight. And I want you to use all of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I do want you to use us. And Lord, we want to hear your word. We want to hear what it is you have for us tonight, Lord, so that we can move closer as one body, Lord. Move as one body. Move by your spirit, Lord. Knit together as one by your spirit and in your spirit, Lord. As you seem to be bringing to mind and proclaiming through us more and more, Lord, over these weeks and today, Lord, about being one body in Christ. And Lord, it is important. It is very important. It is something that particularly we as Americans tend not to gravitate towards, since we're all full of individualism and ruggedness and do-it-self and all of these things, Lord, that tend to fight against and resist being one, one in you and one with each other. So, Lord, speak to us tonight. Let us know, help us to know your heart, your desire in this area, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we are one body. And we know it. We read about it. We talk about it. This morning, it was brought out in more detail again through the sermon, through offering song, through prophecy, through just God's Spirit just speaking to us about this being one. God is bringing us together, and it's not a oneness in a sense of like the world wants. You know, the world wants oneness in the sense that you think like I think. You, as if we think the same way, then we're one. We're together. We're in unity. Unfortunately, with that, it's usually one person or one little group that says you think like we think and you do as we say and follow what we do and so forth and support us and do everything else we want you to do. So when man kind of gets involved with it, it's not really unity per se. It's more like control. That's not the unity that God's talking about, because it even happens in the church, yeah, where, you know, hey, you don't think like, you know, oh, you think like I do. Oh, you believe like I do. Oh, okay. You know, we're together. We're the church of, you know, the denomination of, you know, believe like each other. You know, we believe the same thing, you know, kind of thing. And if you don't, then you're suspect. You're in disunity. You're going against the flow. You're going against what God wants, because you don't believe exactly like we believe. You know, God is looking for one body. He is building one body. When Jesus told Peter that upon this rock I'll build my church, he wasn't talking about Peter building it. He's talking about himself, God building it, because he's the only one that can build it. We know about one body. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. Bill, if you want to go there, please. Talks about the one body in Christ that God is putting together, that God is building up. And Paul exhorts us about being transformed in a way to make sure that we're helping in the building of that body. I'm sorry, verse 12 in chapter 12, verse 12 as well. And Paul talks about the body as a unit, is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. And so it is with Christ in that sense of what it means, anointed one. So it is with Christ being one body with many parts. For we're all baptized into one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink.
And it goes on talking about, you know, the foot wouldn't say to the body, hey, I don't have need of you because I'm the foot and I'm the most important thing going here. Or the hand wouldn't say, I'm the most important. Or the, now the heart might say, I'm the most important. But still, the heart even needs stuff to keep it going. It needs the brain to keep the electrical impulses going, to keep the heart, you know, beating. So, so the brain could really say, I'm the one. We're all being built together. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, Bill. We're being built together. Built together. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones. Pastor mentioned about the living stones. Living stones. And the idea, the story of... Lisa mentioned this morning about a speaker at the convention, a pastor, who was asking God why things weren't going well in terms of his pastoring. And God told him that he didn't like the people. How can you minister to people you don't like? And the pastor was seeing them as bricks, you know, just stone, just bricks. And bricks are easy to pastor, you know, because they don't speak back. They don't talk back. You kind of put them where you want to put them. But they don't really grow either. They don't do much. So God told them, you know, these are living stones. Now, if they're living... Now, there's that passage about, you know, you keep the stones quiet, you know, because if you don't praise God, the stones will start praising, so you better be praising. Well, this was a little bit of a different twist in that the pastor was finding out that living stones tend to not be so malleable, so controlled, if you will, and they tend to speak back, you know, and it's usually not what you want to hear. And so God kind of showed him that living stones are a little bit different than bricks, but it's living stones that God is putting together and building together. And I'm going to speak to that in just a bit, at least what God has shown me on this. So the body is important. We're living stones, a living stone that God himself, as Jesus said, I will build this church upon the rock. He is putting together each living stone together, fitting it rightly where it belongs. We know that God is the potter, and he can make a vessel that is to honor, that is honored, or one to dishonor. The pot that goes, you know, under the chamber deal where people, you know, take care of business there. But God is still the one in control of those living stones and where he puts you. He might make you an eye. He might make you a hand. He might make you whatever. But just because you happen to be the stone that is out visible doesn't mean you're better than the one that nobody can see. Yes, John?
I have kind of a basic question.
Sure.
I guess about the body. I understand different people are parts of the body, but would different churches have their own function in the body? Would one church be a prophesying church and then another one? Do churches collectively, because I've noticed when I've gone to different churches that there's different focuses. So is that part of the body?
Yes, it's part of the body, but in this way, there is no different church. You know, the church down the street, yeah. This church is not the body. It's the individuals in that church, in this church, that are the body. So, but yes, I believe that for a particular group, congregation, to make it more clear, I believe God has a mission for them, a focus for them. I mean, our focus tends to be, at least from what Pastor says, getting the gospel of the kingdom out, getting that out. I mean, we get it out through the internet, through his books, through a lot of things, a lot of ways. And that focus is on preaching the gospel of the kingdom and getting that out. And that seems to be the burden that God has on this church. and he brings the people that fit into that, to that burden. And then there's other churches that are, you know, they're, you know, go out and get them saved, and they do a very good job of that. Others that go, you know, missions and things like that, that seems, you know, as their focus. So yeah, I believe there's a focus for different congregations, if you will. Yeah, but it's still all one body. It's still the idea that God is using these different congregations, if you will, as living stones that he fits together as needed, because people in that, in those churches aren't necessarily the same with us. As we go out, it's not, we don't go take Mount Zion Fellowship with us. We take God with us. We take the Holy Spirit with us. And as we allow God to work through us and be a light, it affects people that we interact with. And God's focus is on building up the church, not necessarily going out and getting people saved. I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm not saying that. But God's focus seems to be on, he wants to build up his church. So one body, one Christ. So answers?
Yeah,
question.
Yeah, that's
oh,
my question.
Okay, good. So one body, and that's, you know, that's great. That's what God is going for. That's what we're beginning to sense from God, that that's what he wants. And what I talked about last time, or what God had me talk about last time in terms of the discipleship, I think that's a part of it, where God uses us as we help build up the body. We're helping the disciple people and be disciple as God's Spirit moves each of us to encourage one another. We're discipling, building up the body. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 12, if you will, Bill. Yeah, God is looking for unity. He is definitely looking for unity. To prepare God's people for works of service. And he's talking about some of the gifts. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. Boom, we kind of want to stop there, till we all reach unity. But he says, in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God's goal in unity is not that we all think the same, or that we all believe the same, and that we all know the same doctrine. It's that we are in unity in faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jerusalem?
Faith in
God, yeah. Thank you, John. Faith in God. Faith in God and in the knowledge of the Son of God, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To become mature. Mature. Mature in what? Mature in that you can, you know enough doctrine that you become a doctor, you know, doctor of theology, you know, walk around with your robe and, you know, please call me Dr. Lloyd. Or is it maturity in something else? It's attaining to the whole measure of Christ, Jesus, the whole measure of him. When Jesus said, go make disciples, what did he want you to make disciples of? Four Square Church? Assemblies of God? Or something else?
What?
Christ? Yes, Christ. Yes. Of Jesus. Make disciples of Jesus. So the unity that God is looking for is faith in God. That we all have a faith in God, that we all believe in God, that we are mature in God. We have more. What is Paul? He was in travail again with the Galatians because he wanted them to have what? More of Christ formed in them. Christ formed in them. Exactly. And that's what God is looking for. That's what the one body is. The body of Christ. It is the body of Christ, head and body. Head, who's the head? Jesus. And then the body is whom? The church. The rest, the church. Exactly. Remember, Christ means anointed one. Anointed. It is not Jesus' last name. Okay. If we wanted to call him by his last name when he lived on the earth, it would be Jesus bar Joseph. Because Joseph was considered his father. Yes, son of Joseph. Joseph was considered his father. Or Jesus, son of God. Okay, since God the Father is his Father. All right. But Christ is not a last name. It is a title, if you will. It is a description of what God is looking for. He is looking to build up his anointed one.
And the anointed one is the body of Christ, head and body. And when you, you know, begin to get a hold of that and understand that, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And that's what God is wanting, to build us up into that. Now, the thing that you know, I mentioned about the unity, and a lot of times even in the church we think unity means that we believe the same, that you had the same twist on the doctrine, that you, you know, you believe the same, you know, statement of faith, that you even get so far to, you know, where you dress the same and you act the same or whatever. That's not what God's looking for in that sense. He is looking for unity as in faith in Him, faith in the Son, doing everything that the Son tells you. Now, God also put on my heart about, okay, how? Just like when I was at the convention, I said, Lord, how about this discipleship? How does that happen? And I felt the Lord say, okay, yeah, it's great. We want to be built up as one body. We are being built up. But, you know, it's interesting that Jesus prayed to the Father I don't know exactly what verse it is, but in chapter 17 of John, talks about praying. He's praying to the Father and says, Father, make them one with each other. He said that. He kind of emphasized that more than the, not that he's saying it's more important, but I mean, he kind of emphasized that more than the, you know, be one with me and the Father. It was like being one with each other. I don't know. Matter of fact, let's see if I can get the verse. If Bill, you want to go to John 17. John 17, verse 11. John 17, verse 11. And this is Jesus praying to the Father to do something. Father, do this. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. It seems like he's emphasizing that we are one, that he wants us to be one. And I'm thinking, first of all, how the heck is that going to happen? I did. I mean, when you think about it, if we're all going to be one together, I'm not talking about, you know, how he squeezes together. So I'm not talking about that. I think God has given me a bigger understanding of oneness. But still, how are each, you know, how am I going to be one with Sir Benny? And how am I going to be one with Mark or Stan or Tony or John or Sandy or Leslie? How am I going to be one with them? Sandy?
Well, if we have the same God and we're one with Him, I mean, that's a huge similarity right there, that each person would be one with that God.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself would make you one.
Yes, definitely, definitely. If our faith is in God and our knowledge of the Son of God is mature. And
also, like, aren't we trying to be conformed to His image as well? So
yes.
For all being conformed to His image, then we would be closer to being one in that way.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Very good. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. And I recognize all of that. And you're right, all of that. But the thing that kind of came to me in terms of my personality, in terms of God practically working that out. Now, are any of you in the full image of Christ right now? I mean, last time I looked, I wasn't too close to that. But stop laughing, Tony. I realize I'm not there yet. And neither are any of the folks I'm supposed to be one with. And my personality, you know, I'll just confess to you, my personality is like, I get tired of you real quick. And I want to be by myself. Leave me alone. I'm okay. Just go away. And God is saying, be one. Yes, Andy.
But we're not supposed to look at that. You know what I'm saying? We're not supposed to look at that. We're supposed to look to Him and then do what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like John said, and be transformed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And that's where our sights are supposed to be at. Because if you look at everything else, then how could we believe it?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And I hear you. I hear you. But in reality, it's like, Lord, how are you going to make this happen? Because a lot of these people I don't like. A lot of these people I don't want to be around. A lot of these people, and I'm not necessarily pointing fingers at you guys, so don't take it as that. Yes, Andy.
Yeah, but if we say, how is that going to happen, like with everyone else, then we say with our own self, how is it going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. But, yeah, Tony. Go ahead.
You know, talking about not wanting to be around people, I don't think that's a reality. I think most of us over here are learning to get along with one another, and God is binding us together. I noticed that in myself, you know, because I was... Okay, anyway, but I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think God's brought us a long way, you know, where... You know, the people that we, you know, rub us wrong, we're irritated with, it's not any longer the case, you know. This is from my perspective.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And on the contrary, I like coming over here, and I like people in this church. I really do. I didn't used to a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
God has changed that. Yeah. And you know why that is? It's because we don't like ourselves. That's what we
That's
like.
Part of it. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yep.
So now I like myself, and I like everybody over here.
Yeah. All right, Tony, will you stop getting ahead of me, please? Yeah, but you come on up. Come on up. Exactly. That's why I said I'm speaking more generically as opposed to this group here, or, you know, because I see what God is doing in us. Yeah. And I'm speaking kind of like, you know, hey, you know, this is the thing that seems to get us where we can't believe God's going to make us one. Okay, well, we can't believe it. We can't quite understand how that would happen. Because again, you know, we think that, you know, long as we believe the same thing, like, you know, as I got caught up in, you know, the liberals and conservatives and so forth and all that stuff, you know, it was like, oh, you believe like I do. You're a conservative. Okay. All right. We're in unity. We got something because you believe, you know, and God is poke so many holes in that and has shown what a sham that is, that it's the same thing in terms of how we are in the church, because we still have some of that mentality, you know, hey, so-and-so, hey, they believe in the rapture, they believe in the this, the that, you know, and the first thing I want to do is say, I don't want anything to do with them, you know, because they believe that. I'm talking about reaction. I'm not talking about a conscious thought to say I don't want to do anything, have anything to do with them. I'm talking about what's in my personality that reacts to that. I may not even consciously think it, but in a sense, I've already got a wall up. I already got separation there because, oh, I know they think that way, you know, kind of thing. But if so-and-so over here thinks like, ooh, they think like I do. Now, they may be a scoundrel in the Lord. They may be a, you know, whatever, but yet they think like I do. So we're brothers. I want to hang out with you. And God is saying, no, don't. I know their heart, you know. But we're thinking, oh, what they think like I do, so they believe like I do, so everything must be fine. That's what I'm saying, that God is saying that is not what he's looking for. When somebody comes to the Lord, or even in the Bible doesn't say when you come to the Lord, he doesn't say, was your doctrine correct? Your doctrine correct? Did you believe everything that Dr. Thompson taught you? He's not going to ask that. He's going to say, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you live the way I wanted you to live? Did you treat your brother like I wanted you to, like you wanted to be treated and like I was treating you? That's what he's going to ask.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He's not going to ask whether or not you knew the seven or no, the four types, you know, and the seven, you know, this and the, you know, the feast of, you know, the Lord and the, you know, all those are important. Don't get me wrong. Those are important and they do help us understand what we're going through and what God is bringing us through. But that's not what God is going to ask you. I mean, you can know every one of Pastor's books. You can understand them upside down and sideways. But if you can still be a scoundrel in your heart,
You can still be a rebellious slave of God, doing your own thing, but yet having all the I's and dotted and the T's crossed as far as understanding the doctrine that God has given Pastor Thompson. And God will still say to you, get away from me, I never knew you. But Lord, I know the doctrine. I know what's going to happen. I know. Get away from me, I never knew you. Yeah, that's, yes. That's the deal. Doctrine is important. I'm not saying throw it out. But it is not more important than what God has called us to do. And that is to be his sons, his daughters, that walk in righteousness and do righteousness. The other thing that God has brought to my attention in terms of this idea that, you know, that I have a struggle with in terms of being this oneness with each other is that I'm very impatient with people. Very impatient. If they're not tracking or doing exactly what I've said for them to do or I want them to do, I get impatient. I even get angry, depending on the situation and who I can get angry, you know, who I can get angry with. It's in my tone of voice with my workers. If they're not following, you know, or they don't quite get it, and this is the third time I've told them, you know, kind of thing. And I get impatient. I told you once already, you should have gotten it. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said it? Patience. Patience is very important. Jesus told us to love one another. To love one another. That's another part of that. Tony was kind of bringing up about, you know, liking people and loving one another is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience with each other. Patience that in my mind, so-and-so is not quite moving fast enough along in their spiritual walk to satisfy me. Okay. I'm impatient. How come they're not moving along? How come you don't know what you should be knowing after sitting in here for 2 years and 3 years and most of your life in here and you still don't got it? You know, you see what I'm saying? We're impatient. And then God does something that, I don't know why he does it, but then he shows me. And he says, how many times have I been showing you this thing and you haven't gotten it? Yeah, oops is right. Oops is right. We need to have patience. God has patience with us, but we don't have patience with our brother or our sister. That's what I mean by this idea of being one with one another is so difficult for me to wrap my brain around when Jesus says that they'll be one with one another. But there's another aspect that God had me talk about a few weeks ago is being patient with God and how he's working with us and working on us and working through us. And I've told you before, I mean, I want God to snap his fingers and make me right, fix me right now. All right, Lord, I got this problem. Fix it now. I mean, I prayed the prayer. I've confessed it, and I've you know, done all the things. Fix it now. And God says, I'm beginning to hear God say, I should say, I am fixing it in my time, in my way. I've taken power away from the thing. You're still learning how to trust me. You're still learning how to have faith that I will finish the work I'm doing in you. You still have not quite learned how to stay focused on me, to be in the Holy of Holies, to look up on me with unveiled face, to look up on my glory, so that you may be transformed. And it takes time. It takes time. But Lord, I want it done now. I want to be able to serve you perfectly. And then I want to be without sin and without anything, without this sinful nature. And God says, be still. and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And I struggle with that. And I struggle with that with others. Because God's doing the same thing with them as he's doing with me. He is patient. He is patient. Yes, he's working with us. Yes, he's telling us. He's giving us more of his spirit. He's helping us to overcome each and every day as we confess and as we follow him and obey him. But if you're like me, it's not moving fast enough. And Jesus and God says, be patient. Be patient. I am building you up. I am, quote unquote, fixing you. But be patient. And be patient with your brother. Be patient with your sister in the Lord. Be patient with others. With your employees, with your coworkers, with your boss. Be patient. Love one another. And of course, as we know, we can't gin that up. We have to go to God to put that in us to do. And he puts us in situations that requires patience. It requires us to go back to God because we blew it again. I was impatient. So this oneness with each other, this body of Christ that he's putting together, these living stones. Yes, he's putting them together, but guess what? He's putting me together with John, John with me, and with Mark and Stan and Tony and Abby and Leslie and Sandy and Bill and Benny and David. He's putting us together his way in his time. And as he's doing it, you know, and the guy puts the stone or the brick, I'll use brick even though it call it a living stone. You know, sometimes he has to chip something off, you know, and then he puts it next to this one that doesn't quite look like that one. And, you know, you can hear the one stone brick saying, I don't want to be next to that one. Why are you putting me next to that guy? You know. You know how we are. I don't want to be next to John. I don't want to be next to Mark. I like that one over there. Put me over there with that one. But no, God says, you are doing what I say. I'm putting you where you will best fit. And the stone doesn't know where your best fits, but the mason does. Be patient. Be patient. So God was giving me hope. In terms of his desire and what he's actually doing and putting these living stones together, putting the body of Christ together. He's doing it in the midst of all our stuff. And I put a note there that kind of came to mind as God was telling me this is messy. Messy. In Proverbs 14:4. If you want to go there, Bill, Proverbs 14:4. There's something that it's a proverb, obviously, so it's a bit of wisdom. And it says, where there are no oxen, the manger or the stable is empty or clean. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest, or from the strength of the ox comes fruit. And God was showing me that, you know, we're supposed to be burden bearers. The ox, one of the faces of the seraphim, I think it is an ox, burden bearer, cherub, excuse me, thank you. Cherub is one of the faces is an ox, a burden bearer. Oxes, God designed them, I think, to bear burdens and to bear them well. And when I say well, I mean, obviously there's some training involved, but I mean, they seem to kind of, you know, fit right with it, you know, in terms of bearing burdens. And Paul, you know, tells us to bear one another's burdens. And, you know, if you got oxen, you know, in this stable, they don't have any oxen, so all the straw and everything's clean. But if he had oxen, of course, you know, he'd have oxen to plow and to carry things and to do things. But guess what? He's got to go in and muck out the stable every now and then because it gets dirty and stinky. Dirty and stinky. If we're going to have fruit, if we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to have an abundant harvest, what this proverb is indicating, guess what? It's going to be messy.
Not to God, because God's got it totally under control. But from our perspective, it looks messy. Oh, I just offended so-and-so, or so-and-so just offended me, or how come so-and-so is not doing what there's, blah, you know, all these things that happen in us that cause all our stuff to get stirred up, stuff in each other, stuff in ourselves and everything. It's messy. And we got to go back, oh, I'm sorry, brother, or, oh, you know, Lord, help me. It's messy. But out of it is going to come fruit. Of course, the prayer for Jesus to the Father was, make us one. Make us one as they are one. So we have to understand that mess. We have to be patient. We have to forgive. Yes, Sandy. Not Sandy. Abby.
I didn't even see it until you mentioned it, the messy part. But the way I kind of interpreted it was if the ox doesn't work, then there won't even be food for himself. But if the oxen works, then not only is there the harvest for the people, but there's the harvest for himself, and his trough will be full.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly. So, yeah, when we're doing what God wants, even though it can be quote-unquote messy, yeah, we're getting fed as well. Yeah, we're growing as well. And we're helping others to grow as well. Definitely, good. So, like I said, in that mess, we get impatient. We have to learn to forgive one another. And how often do we forgive? How many times did, the disciples ask, you know, three times, seven times, you know, hey, you know, we're getting to seven. We're getting kind of, you know, a lot there. Seven times. 70. Seven times seven or 70 times?
Seven.
Yeah. A lot of times. A lot of times. And you know how we are, you know, after the third time. If we let it go that far, you know, we're done with them. You know, you're out of here. And God says, no, if that was the case, I'd have been done with you a long time ago. Lord, help my heart. Lord, help my heart. Help my heart. And of course, if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive us. And if we don't get forgiven by God, guess what? We kind of arrest the maturing process that God is bringing us to. And it might be one of those living stones that kind of gets taken out of that body. I guess what God is putting my heart about the body is that, yes, he's building it and he's using us. And he's using us to help each other to build up the body, to build up each other, to encourage one another to good deeds. What good deeds? Hey, to bear more fruit, to remain in Jesus, to walk in his love, to obey him. All of these things that the New Testament and Old Testament exhort us to do. And if we do that, yes, we will be one. And God has given me a little tiny vision of being one with each other for all eternity. But it's going to be in the midst of trouble. It's going to be in the midst of things happening that we don't want to happen. It's going to be in the midst of things not going the way we want them to go. It's going to be in the midst of somebody offending us. It's going to be in the midst of all these things that God's allowing to get at Adam, to get at the sinful nature, which is selfish, so that we can be transformed into God's image, into Christ's image. Into the image of Jesus. So, the goal, one body, goal being built up in unity and maturity and the measure and the fullness of Christ. But in the midst of it, we got to let go of the religious stuff that we've got in our mind of how that's supposed to happen. And know that God is in control, total control, and he's using each one of us to be those builders. The little hammers, the little tools to help build up one another. And it can be messy. You know, on construction, when you're in the middle of construction, it's messy. It's messy. But you know what you're doing. There's a plan. There's things going on. And all of a sudden, you know, now you got the house. And it's like, whoa, you know. But, you know, 3 weeks ago, it was like, good grief, it looks like a disaster area. You know, yeah. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. God has the blueprint. He's the master builder. He's the architect. He's the contractor, if you will, that's putting it all together. But from our eyes, it can look like a mess. And we have to be patient with one another and patient with God. And say, God, I trust you know what you're doing, so help me to continue on in you. Amen? You want to be one body? You want to be one body in Christ? I do. I really do. I really do. And I'm asking God to help me. To help me not see the mess. not see the mess as an offense. But to know that God is in control. And he is dealing with each one of us so that he will bring us together as one. As he and the Father are one. And it will be glorious. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one building your church. You're the one putting the living stones together. You're the one that's calling out of the world your living stones, calling them out, choosing them, and helping them to be faithful to you so that you can put them in the right place in your body. And Lord, help us just like with a construction site, Lord, as things are getting built, you know, you got stuff over here and stuff over there and junk and dust and debris and everything all over the place, and it looks like a tornado hit it, Lord. But yet, everything's running based on the plan. Everything's clicking along like it should, and before we know it, we see this beautiful building, this beautiful house, and we forget all about the mess that was there before. And you're doing the same with us, Lord. So help us, Lord, to be patient with one another and patient with you, Lord, as you're working on us and through us and transforming us. Help us to remain in you so that we may have joy, so that we may be transformed into your image. And Lord, help us to see the mess as usefulness, as things that help us in this transformation, Lord. And so we don't look at our brother and sister as the mess, as we tend to do, Lord. And we don't look at circumstances and things that happen as the mess, as we tend to do. And we look to you and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Change me. Help me to get out of this what it is you want, Lord. Help me to do what it is you want me to do in this. Help me to be patient and waiting. Waiting on you. That doesn't mean passive. It just means patience and waiting on you, Lord, in your time. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are building your church, and you are the rock that is being built on, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. And Lord, I just ask that for each one here, Lord, that you would give us and each one hearing, Lord, that you would give us a keen sense of your presence, Lord, in all circumstances, everything we do, Lord, the people we interact with. Help us, Lord, to love one another as you love us, so that we may be one in each other, one body, head and body, in Christ, your dwelling place for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.